Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Primary day once again. Polls open today in Michigan and Arizona, and GOP voters in those two states may just decide the fates of Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum as both candidates vie to emerge as front runners or avoid serious damage in defeat. But the bigger test may be the success of the GOP in holding white working-class voters. That's the largest voting bloc in this year's election, and it may bear even more importantly on the November election than it does in this primary season. Joining us this morning, Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country. Anna, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So who are we describing here? A bloc, of course, is a group of individuals that vote alike. It doesn't mean demographically they're the largest group in the United States necessarily, but as a bloc, who are we talking about?
Well, the media tend to use terms interchangeably to describe these voters. You'll hear things like blue-collar workers, the white working class, heartland voters, Reagan Democrats. And a lot of this implies that it comes down to income, that these are voters just above the very poor, white voters just above the very poor. But political scientists who look back at the 2008 election say a more reliable way to analyze these white voters is by education, whether they went to college or not. John McCain had an 18-point margin among white voters who didn't go to college. When you looked at income at white voters who made under $50,000, John McCain won them, but by a much less, a smaller margin. But let's remember, of course, even though President Obama had a huge electoral victory in 2008, white voters still gave John McCain a 12-point edge.
All right. Is there a gender breakdown here? Is this just as true for women voters in this demographic voting bloc, whatever you want to call it?
Well, I've got a new term for you for the 2012 campaign.
Oh,
we've
goody.
Heard about the soccer mom. The new buzzword is the waitress mom. 20% of white working women work in service jobs. And these are the kind of voters that Rick Santorum is out trying to show that he can pull out to the polls in the Republican primary. Both Democrats and Republicans think they've got a shot with these white working class women because white women overall were more split than white men in 2008. They went for John McCain by just 7 points instead of the 16-point differential among white men between John McCain and Barack Obama.
So are there issues related to the personality of individual candidates? You've mentioned the educational issue here. That's a data point. There's a gender breakdown which relates to some experiential. If you're talking about waitress moms, there's an experience there which may bear on how you vote. And then, of course, there's the income thing that you talked about here. Here's a voter, or actually here is someone that you actually spoke with. First of all, I want to hear what this political scientist is saying about how these people are actually voting and then get your sense of the whole thing.
Voters now are voting more based on social issues, especially in the South and Great Plains. But they don't have to worry about losing government benefits. So they have the luxury of voting on social issues knowing that these federal spending programs will be kept in place.
Now, that's Dean Lacy, a Dartmouth political scientist. And he raises the question for me, are these individuals voting as an ethnic identity, as an income identity, or something different, regional, social?
Well, what you're asking about first is how people self-identify. And you don't hear folks going out saying, I'm a white working class voter, right, and that's why I'm supporting Rick Santorum. And you can see that in the way the candidates talk. Rick Santorum talked about good, decent men and women working hard when he was talking about the college issue, when he called President Obama a snob over the weekend. And then remember back in 2008 when Hillary Clinton got in trouble, talking about hardworking Americans, and then she said white Americans. She sort of showed the code that candidates use there, and she got blasted for using racial words there.
Clinton's old view on that was, Bill Clinton's old view was people who play by the rules, you know. It sort of avoided the ethnic identification, but everybody knew who he was talking about.
Exactly. So voters hear those like dog whistles when candidates say them. Political scientists, on the other hand, are looking at voting patterns, trying to figure out what is the sort of thing that that these districts and counties share that are going Republican in districts that you wouldn't expect.
I mean, that's the big question. Why does the GOP seem to be favored by this group.
That's what I think that Dean Lacey is so interesting, the Dartmouth professor. What he looked at in these districts he found in the South and in the Great Plains, he found that districts that actually received more in federal welfare payments, these are things like housing assistance, Medicaid payment, agricultural subsidies, that actually differentiated these districts and what predicted that they would go Republican. So what he's saying there then is saying these are counties and states that have had these programs for a long time, have come to rely on these federal spending programs so much so they don't vote on it as a voting issue. They count on their lawmakers in Congress to protect them. And so they have what Dean Lacey calls the luxury of looking at conservative social values, and they're voting Republican.
Do other analysts believe this is the Republican base, essentially people who are on the government's dime, even though they talk about less government?
Well, they don't use those words, of course. But talk to Republican strategists, and absolutely, they say the white working class vote is essential for us to build up the margins. I talked to Mark McKinnon, who's a Republican strategist. He worked for George W. Bush and John McCain. This is what he said.
They're absolutely part of the base, and they reflect a lot of, you know, what we used to call Reagan Democrats. They become a really core constituency, and in order for Republicans to win, they've got to capture a huge proportion of those voters.
Now, he's alluding there to the difficult math for the GOP. It can't just be the white working class voters, and if there's a lack of enthusiasm among voters in this 2012 election right now, even if a fraction of them stays home, the math becomes even more difficult. How does that work?
Well, that's McKinnon said, we think we've got a chance with these voters because these are folks who've been hit really hard by the economy. He said the problem with the white working class voters is they're not working. So Republicans see they've got an advantage there. But talk to Democratic strategists, and they like what they're seeing in terms of the overall change in the electorate. The white working class voter is shrinking as a share of the overall American electorate. I talked to a guy named Rui Teixeira. He's a political scientist and studies Democratic strategy, and this is how he described it.
The white working class voters are by far the most sympathetic to the Republicans. But the sort of the demographic logic of things going forward is they need an ever larger share of the vote among a declining demographic to truly remain competitive.
I love that demographic logic. That's perhaps the narrative of this entire 2012 election, figuring out who your base is, but not losing sight of the fact that it is a shifting environment and you've got to attract other voters or you're not going to win.
Again, 2008, there were a record share of black voters, Latino voters, Asian American voters in the electorate. So these white working class voters also used to be called the silent majority. We don't have a majority anymore. So that's how the American electorate is changing.
So the not-so-silent minority at this point. That's the takeaway on white working class voters from Anna Sale, reporter for It's a Free Country. Thanks so much.
Thanks.